I'm an alcoholic and addict. Our speaker tonight is John. I met John probably 2.5-3 months into his sobriety, and have watched him grow over the past year, a little over a year, and it's been really cool to see, to hear his struggles, just which are the same as mine and probably the same as yours, and how he got in, how he's been able to stay in, and what he's doing now to stay in. It's great to hear and great to see. So with that, I give you an alcoholic named John.
Well, hey family, my name is John and I'm an alcoholic. And I'd like you all to bear with me because this is my second time telling my story. And first time I kind of rushed through it. So here goes nothing. My first time I had a drink, I was in sixth grade, so that was 11 years old. I walked into we had a fridge outside of my house, walked in there, and my first beer was a Heineken. I didn't particularly like it at that time, but, you know, I wanted to see what all the fuss was about. Some of my friends have already started to have a few drinks, tasting things, and bragging about it at school. So I decided to try to do that. But what pushed me to drink at first was I had a tough time in school. I constantly got picked on. I was the bigger kid in the class. Called me Blubber Boy or Fatty, which I always had a problem with. I had a problem with self-confidence, which I learned in my fourth step and talked about it with my sponsor, my fifth step. But through middle school, I ended up starting to drink more. I lived for the weekends. I had a few buddies that we kind of decided to dig into the drinking area. We went over to a buddy's house. Probably this is the house that we went over to drink. And his dad was an alcoholic, still is an alcoholic. Don't know how he's still functioning. Because he still has not found the right path, but walked into his house the first day I ever met him. He offered me a Foster's, which is a big lager beer, which all of y'all probably know. And he just told us to sit down on the couch and drink with him. We were like, awesome. We were like in 7th or 8th grade, drinking beer for the under adult supervision. So we were like, we're the cool kids. And it just happened like that. And every single weekend, we just kept doing that. And constantly, we just kind of, that was our weekend ritual. And then, by the way, I do have drugs in my story. We started playing around with pot, which that was pretty awesome. We started smoking pot every weekend, drinking every weekend. We weren't drinking for the taste. We were young enough that we just wanted to get the feeling. But I didn't know that sooner or later that I was going to be hooked on the drinking and always wanted that feeling. So in high school, lived for the weekends, got my first car, and every single weekend I was constantly drinking with my friends, smoking pot, drinking, and because of my insecurity, I started out doing some more things. I started popping pills and doing cocaine, and every single weekend, we would get smashed, and just had multiple beers. We didn't have that high of a tolerance at that time, but going into high school, a lot of my friends started leaving, going to different schools. So I ended up starting to sell pot because I thought that was going to make me a cool person. But the only thing that it did was enable my habit, paid for everything that I wanted to do. And I eventually got kicked out of school for that. And I ended up going to boarding school, but that just helped my situation even better because I was able to learn how to hide things from people. In boarding school, I got Someone showed me Xanax, and that was my main drug of choice at that time. Since I wasn't able to drink during the day, I was able to take pills throughout the day to get my mind right. And push forward. And in the evening, we would sneak out of our dorm room, smoke pot, and drink. And that was a regular occurrence at boarding school. And on the weekends, when I decided to go home, I kind of took my knowledge back with me. I started looking for Xanax back at home and got my addiction even deeper in when I was at home, because I ended up going through high school. I was got to the habit of taking about eight Xanax bars a day and drinking. I wasn't really counting at that time in high school how much I was drinking, but it was a regular occurrence that I always had to have. I always had to be under the influence of something, because that was the only way that I was going to feel self-confident in myself and be comfortable around other people, is if it was if I was under the influence. By that time, I was drinking and driving constantly. Probably should have gotten over about 10,000 DUIs. Lucky to be alive through all this. I remember one night I took about eight bars of Xanax and had about 20 beers. And I decided my parents wanted me to come home. Even though I probably shouldn't have driven home, I did anyway, and was puking the whole way home outside of my car. Didn't really give a shit. I just decided to pop in the passenger side of the car, puke some more till I felt right. I was able to get home that night and got safely home. Looking back at it now, it's a stupid idea, but I thought I was on top of the world. Nothing could hurt me. And that just went on throughout high school. And getting into college, I thought I was a normal person. Everybody was drinking like I thought everybody was drinking the way I was. Every night in college, I had a 30 case. Every single night, I was able to manipulate my doctor into getting me a prescription of clonazepam. Somehow, he allowed me to get 2 milligrams a day of Xanax, which gave me a good month's supply, but on top of that, I always had a good stash, probably around 50 Xanaxes on me constantly, to be able to pop throughout the day when I was in college, because I didn't want to drink during the day. But after that, after school that day, I always had that 30 case and drinking a 30 case a day. And that happened throughout college for about, I was there for 3 years before I left. And we were messing around with coke, pills, painkillers. And I thought it was normal because I went to an all-guys college. And there was nothing else to do besides drink and do drugs. So I thought I was a normal person, drinking a 30 case a day, taking about 8 bars a day, and being able to function, or at least I thought I was functioning. And that went on until about junior year in college. I ran out of Xanax one day, and I dropped from a seizure. I was going through withdrawals, and ended up going to the hospital. I was able to convince my parents that I did not drop from withdrawals because of a side effect of taking about 8 bars a day for about 3 to 4 years. Something's going to happen if you just immediately stop taking it. And I ended up going home for a semester. But that didn't stop anything for me. At that time, I was still continuing taking a bunch of pills, drinking every single night, just being able to hide it more. Well, I was chugging beers when my mom was not in the room, because I lived with my mom, and hiding the beers under the couch. Then one day she found them. She was got home from work one day, and I saw about 30 beers on top of the coffee table, and she was like, "Do you see a problem there?" I was like, "No." There's nothing wrong with that. And I was like, thinking to myself, like, shit. So I immediately just tossed them away. I didn't think anything of it. I just went and took some more Xanax and started drinking again. But my mom eventually got fed up with me, but I was able to go back to school for another semester, which that lasted about a month and a half. One day I was 8 bars in. Well, I was getting in fights with my fraternity brothers. They all got fed up with me. They were like, "You got a problem?" I was like, "No, I don't. I'm doing just fine. I'm doing what everybody else is doing." I'm like, "No, you're not. You're absolutely out of control." One day at a fraternity party, I got myself a 30 case. Had about 22 beers, about 6 Xanax bars. Decided to go to Taco Bell because everybody was fed up with me. I was like, "Food's gonna be awesome." So it was an icy day. Bad idea to drive. But on the way back, I was about a mile from school. I swerved and hit a ditch, got knocked out, woke up, my car was inside the house. Thankfully, I'm alive. That was a spiritual experience for me, but I didn't notice it at that time. I ran into somebody's living room. There was a kid in there. He eventually left school because of PTSD. Because that was probably a terrible, terrifying accident for him. I ended up getting on a stretcher. The ambulance got me and put me on a stretcher. I was squeezed out of the car. I was like, "I got to get the hell out of here. So this is a terrible place." Found out that I called my dad immediately. I don't remember that. I told him I hit a house. He was like, "Good God." Yeah, I did that. He just asked if I was okay, apparently. My mom found out the next day when the nurse called and says, "How's your son doing? He just got out of the hospital." She was like, "What? What happened to him?" He was like, "He hit a house." And she was like, "Oh, shit." My sister called and begged me to come home. My dad came up immediately. This was my second DUI. I forgot to tell about the first one. It's 21st birthday. Went to the bars. Sister got roofied. Tried to save her. Cops didn't give a shit. So got thrown in jail. But anyways, college, hit a house. I ended up going home. All the fraternity brothers probably ecstatic. I had one night, but after that, after I got out of the hospital that night from the car wreck, the next day I immediately went and got another 30 case and took some more Xanax. No normal person after that horrendous car wreck would go drink again, but I immediately had to go get another 30 case and take some Xanax just to be able to relax. What I did not mention was every single night I had the drink to be able to fall asleep. I couldn't fall asleep if I wasn't under the influence of alcohol and Xanax. And that's why I had to end up drinking a 30 case every night. But when I went home after my sister begged and my dad dragged me home, I figured out the problem. I was like, "I just got a problem with Xanax. Nothing else. Everything else is fine. Coke and pill, painkillers is fine. I just can't take the Xanax anymore." Continue to drink heavily every single night. And I was like, "I'm not in school. What else am I supposed to do? Just lost my car." So every single day after work, I work at a church, and they're very nice and forgiving. They allowed me to come back. Every single day after work, I would walk down to the Publix, which was about a mile and a half down the road, grab two cases of beer, had it in a little gym bag, lugged them back up this big-ass hill. I was like, "I can do this every day, as long as I get the drink." And that went on for quite some time. My mom started getting really fed up with me. But I ended up getting another car, and drinking and driving was a problem for me. Every single day after work, I would go to the gas station, get two tall boys, and chug them before I got home. I had to make sure that I was able to get, it was about a 2-minute drive. I had to drink those two beers before I got home. Then I could open a beer to cover up my breath so my mom wouldn't notice. She could smell me after she saw I had a beer in my hand. She just couldn't know how many I've had. And she just started getting fed up. She eventually kicked me out of the house. And I went on a big old bender after that. I got real pissed off. She called me at work, and she says, "Your stuff is on the porch. Can't come home. I've changed the locks." I was furious. I called my dad screaming, because he just lets me scream at him, because he just lets it go in one ear and go out the other one. He's like, "I understand. Your mom's an asshole." And went to my sister's house. She lived down the road. Went and got an 8-ball, and I got a case of beer and partied that whole night. I said, "This is just going to be my farewell party to my mom, because I'm not going to talk to her again." And the next day, I lived with my dad for about 2 months before I got sober. And my dad traveled a lot. He went to Florida back and forth because he does commercial real estate. And even when he was there, he didn't care. He knew I had a problem, but he was going to allow me to run my path because he knew that he couldn't talk to me. Because my mom's already tried. She already tried to have an intervention one day on Mother's Day. When I thought I had a problem with Xanax, I was with a friend. He had one Xanax bar, and I was like, "I got to get that. I need that." I took that, and immediately that hit a chain reaction where I went and bought about 20 to 30 more. And this was on Mother's Day of 2013. I took about 8 Xanax bars, just jumped right back in the saddle. Went and got drunk throughout the day. Hit another car at my friend's workplace, so he was able to talk my way out of it and drove me home. But I begged him to go get more Xanax, even though I had like 30 on me. And got my car and drove to go get a haircut. Some reason I did that. She was starting to cut my hair. She's like, "What do you want to do?" I said, just shave it. Just shave my hair off. Walked home, passed out on the couch. My mom was freaking out. She couldn't wake me up. She took me to the hospital. Woke up they were trying to get me out of the car at the hospital. I said, "No, screw this. I'm not going to the hospital. I'm fine." Went back to the house. She tried to have an intervention. Stormed out of the house, pulled the pill bottle out of my pocket, took about 3 more Xanax bars. I said, "This is going to make everything better." And finally I said, "I'll go to the hospital." Spent about an hour there, then ripped the IV out and said, "I got to go." And the next day I woke up, no big deal. This happens to everybody. So sooner or later somebody's going to have this situation that I've been in. Somebody's going to realize that I'm just like everybody else. No. So this is when my mom kicked me out of the house. Lived with my dad for about 2 months. He lived in a 1-bedroom condo. So I lived on the couch. That was awesome. But I was drinking every night. I could fall asleep. I'm fine. One day, my dad went out of town for about a week. And ran out his Xanax. So I decided to rummage through his pills to see what he had. And he had a big bottle of painkillers. Because he just recently got his knee replaced. I said, "Well, he's not going to use those." So, obviously, I took them. And, you know, I was making opiate water. Like, busting it up, put it in hot water, put it in the fridge, coffee filter. Makes it all better. Just hits you immediately. And, you know, take 2 pills, and I make the opiate water to settle me out. And eventually I ran out of the opiate water. This was a week-long bender of major painkillers and drinking constantly every single night. And I was like, "He's not here. I can do this. It's not a big deal." Just smoking pot in the condo. That was fine. You know, I ran out of painkillers. I was with one of my other friends who's now in the program. And we decided to end up getting heroin. And I told myself I would never do heroin. But I did it anyway. ran out of painkillers. He says, "You're gonna be fine. You already have a your body's already built up to the all the painkillers you've already taken." So we ended up getting 2 grams of heroin, one for him, one for me. Went through that for a few days. Immediately, I went and had to go get some more. Did that. Now, all this time, I was on probation for crashing into the house. I spent 10 days in jail. And that went on for a while. But my dad finally came home. And I was sober this day. And I saw my clothes in his closet. So what the hell is that? Why is that there? And Dad said, "You put it in there while you're on your bender." And I was like, "Oh." Because I got all pissed off, like, "Why do you have my clothes?" And that was just a sign that something's going on. But a few days later, my dad brought up that he met somebody who's in the program. He started trying to talk to me about it. I didn't really want to listen. But it took him about a week to 2 weeks for me to finally listen. I went into his liquor cabinet, found 2 bottles of Macallan, and proceeded to drink those. He was quite mad. It was 12 years and 18 years old scotch, and I was like, "This is going to be awesome. Best whiskey I've ever had. Smooth as a baby's bottom." And I was drinking a beer one day, and he said, "I think you're drinking too much." I said, "Okay. I'll go to a meeting to see what it's all about." So that Wednesday, his friend that he met, name's Brian, came over to the house, and we went to a meeting. I was scared, shaky. I was like, "I don't want to do this," but you know, I told him I would. Ended up going to the meeting. I was like, "I don't have a problem with drinking." And started hearing some stories. I told him I was new, so they told me about the first step, being powerless, and I was like, "I relate to everything that they're saying. I am an alcoholic and an addict." I picked up that white chip and I started the program, and I've been sober ever since. I've had 2 spiritual experiences. 1, I survived that car wreck. 2, I actually listened to my father. I've listened to my father on certain things, but this I didn't want to deal with till he said something. Because he's never led me wrong. And I'm surprised that I actually listened to him. That I'm blessed that I was able to listen to him and walk into these rooms to get sober. Which brings to the first step. It was quite easy for me to admit that I was powerless over alcohol. Even that, though, at times I still say, "Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can drink." It was easy at that time for me to admit that I was powerless. And going to the second step, I grew up in a Christian household. So I always knew that there was somebody out there that was greater than me pulling my strings. So that was easy for me to admit that there was a higher power. And and I was able to turn it over with help to my sponsor. I was able to turn my life around and let him control me. And thankfully, I'm still praying, because I wouldn't be here by now. But fourth step, I didn't like that step. Not at all. I didn't want to do it, but my sponsor said, I think he brought up one of his other sponsors, or his sponsor said, "You only got a few days to do this, because if you push it out, you're never going to do it." So I immediately did it. I don't think I did that great a job on it, but, you know, it worked. I thought I did a good job, but Lee thought I could go deeper into it. I said, "No, I got this. This is fine." I probably still need to go deeper into it, but right now I'm doing okay. But and then talking about it, I learned that there was a whole lot more wrong with me than I thought. I had a problem with self-confidence, what people thought about me, and I didn't. That stuff should have never bothered me. That's not a reason that I should have drank. But I made it the main problem that I decided to do all these things, because I thought this would make me feel better. And never did. But I'm able to accept the way I am now through the help of this program. So that's a good thing. And six, ready to have God remove all these defects of character. I think he's still working on that one. You know, so far, things going pretty well. I say the seven-step prayer every night and the third step, so, you know, I'm hoping he's listening. And, I didn't have many, well, I guess I did. I had many people that I've harmed. And, making the amends part was not my favorite idea of the steps. Because I didn't want to talk to these people again, because I pissed them off bad. You know, but thankfully the main one that I had to make amends to, he got in touch with me on Christmas. He says, let's just forget about the past. You know, we both made mistakes, and I was able to make amends to him, and he forgave me. We haven't talked, but, you know, it's been done. We don't talk anymore, thankfully, because he was one of my big drinking and drug buddies. And I thought, I tried to help him one night when I was all smashed. I drove over to his house, like half a bottle of vodka, and my mom was like, are you okay? I said, I got this. Drove over there, because I was talking to my friend, and said, this is a good idea. We should talk to him and say that you're doing too many painkillers. Like, your brother already died from a heroin overdose. But he wasn't there. He was at college, and I talked to the guy's uncle. He was furious that I went over to his house. I was like, my bad. Obviously, I was trying to put my problem onto you, even though I was trying to just avoid myself. And, you know, I'm always like, I hope I don't see him again. But, ended up making the amends. My mother was a hard one. I stole from her a lot to pay for my addiction. And thankfully she's still there for me. She still listens to me and talks with me, you know. I think we're a lot closer now since I've been sober. Since I got sober. Because we eat dinner every single night, and we actually talk and laugh, even though she tries to make jokes and then I get frustrated. And it never worked out when me and her were both drinking. We were like the same people. We get angry. We get frustrated with each other, and we start yelling, and it's just a terrible idea. But now, we're fine. Even though when she's drinking, she kind of gets all wacky. You know, I do my best to keep doing 10 every single day. That is a difficult one for me that I do need to work on. Kind of say it to myself. I don't really write it down, which I guess I should write it down. But meditation is hard for me. I'm ADD. I'm all over the place. You could say my meditation is sitting in front of the TV not talking. I watch a lot of shows, so I guess I meditate like throughout the day. And, you know, everything's great. You know, I'm peaceful. Just watching the show. This is awesome. But I can't sit down and just sit in silence. My dog won't allow me to. But I'm able to have a constant contact with God by praying every single night, saying third step and seventh step prayer, and thanking him for all that he's done for me and keep me sober. And he's the reason I'm here now, and y'all in the rooms. And I'm very grateful. And I guess I've already talked about my spiritual awakenings. Car wreck. Listening to my father. And I told my mom that I listened to my father, and that's why I got in the room. She was furious about that today. She was like, why don't you ever listen to me? I was like, it just didn't happen. And you never listen. If you're a guy, you don't listen to your mother. If you're a guy, you listen to your father. She was upset, but that's the way it worked. And I'm happy where I am now, and I'm sober because of y'all and for my sponsor and my steps. And, actually, I'm not shaking anymore, so I'm pretty happy about that. But that's really all I got. So I appreciate it.